You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Get to people, yeah.
What are you gonna
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity. Everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future, we all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe, civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say, Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi, or Baba Oshi. Hotep family. Hotep. Hope everything was well with you today. Hope you had a good weekend. Hope you had a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. And I hope the weather was accommodating for you to do it, so you could do it safely and in leisure and so forth. But of course, there's other parts of this country that, in fact, all around this country, the weather just, man, fires in the west, freezing temperatures in the north and the east, and even now in the south. Man, I tell you. But whatever you do, whenever you have to do it, you do it safely. You know, that's for sure. You're listening to African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. At the top of the page, you'll see podcasts. Click on that, and then drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. A shortcut, just put in, go online to whatever your server is, and you put in babaoshi.net, babaoshi.net, and that'll lead you right to Time for an Awakening into the African Perspectives page. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening on Mondays, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Mawia Kamban, Dr. Kamal Kamban, and Nataki Kamban, and that's from 8 to 9. Black Therapy Central from 8 to 9 on Mondays. Following from 9 to 10, Conversation Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey of Encobra. On Tuesdays, Dr. William Rogers, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10 on Tuesdays. On Wednesdays, the Black Farmers Report on Wednesdays. And then, excuse me, on Fridays, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Time for an Awakening on Fridays. Saturdays from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council. From 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council. And then on Sunday, once again, at 7 p.m., it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. We Buy Black, the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses, WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses, WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans, my good brother Bamani Tayemba, Africa for the Africans. He was busy, but we'll try to get him on the air real soon to talk about what's going on, what he observed as it relates to travel from here to the mother continent for various reasons, for investment, repatriation, just touring, whatever. We got to make this connection. And, of course, his next trip is April 1st to April 11th. going to Senegal and Gambia. Then May 24th to June 5th, going to Ghana. And then November 17th through the 28th, Tanzania. And, of course, the cost is $3,800 per person. Just $3,800 per person. And you can put that together and put a down payment of $400 down and pay on it. And then there, you're ready to go. Trip of a lifetime. Everything you need is on the website, AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Everything you need, all the information, what are all the things that are necessary. Of course, if you want to see pictures of previous tours, go to Facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos of previous tours, go to YouTube.com/Bomani2007 or give my good brother a call at 404-931-9429. That's 404-931-9429. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Habesha. Habesha Incorporated, helping Africa by establishing schools at home and abroad. Africa. HabeshaIncorporated.org. And, of course, the projects that they have ongoing is Habesha Works. Excuse me, family. Habesha Works, Black to Our Roots, Sustainable Seeds, The Golden Growers, and Urban Green Jobs. And, of course, the Kashi Project, which is ongoing on the continent in Ghana. It is building as we're speaking. So check out HabeshaIncorporated.org. HabeshaIncorporated.org. The LEDGE Group. LEDGE stands for the Environmental Development for Group Economics. Land for the Environmental Development for Group Economics. The LEDGE Group. They deal in the four areas of human existence: food, water, clothing, and shelter. They have 12 projects in 6 countries in Africa. And they employ over 170 people. And they have 260 members. Become a member of the LEDGE Group. Of course, you becoming a member, you have the opportunity to purchase land in Tanzania for $250 an acre. That's right. You can purchase land in Africa, in Tanzania, for $250 an acre. Check out theledgegroup.com. Bibi Atumi. A-B-I-B-I-T-U-M-I. AbibiAtumi.com. Brothers and sisters, go to abibiatumi.com and make it a favorite. Make it a place that you like to go and check out forums, groups, shopping, events, all kind of good stuff. Languages, brothers and sisters, you can learn African languages. Even the Medu Netcher. Khan, of course, Swahili. You know, I advocated we should learn Swahili so we can speak to each other and have some cultural privacy. Yes, you can learn Spanish and you can learn all these other languages, the French, but to me, we need to speak in a language that is our own. Not this language, because this is not our own. Okay. Sigma Pharmacy, SMAI, which is Sigmet Medicine Awakens Imhotep. Go to their website, Sigma, and then pharmacy is spelled F-A-R-M-A-C-Y. F-A-R-M-A-C-Y. Sigma Pharmacy. And brothers, believe me, and sisters, believe me, it'll be a great change in your lives. Holistic healing. Hold me up. So go to Sigma Pharmacy, and it's SMAIFARMACY.com. They also have the email address if you want to contact them through email. That's Brother Jabril. Brother Jabril was on last week. Many people inquired about it. And so I'm giving you the information where you can check it out. So email him. When you email him for Brother Jabril, he spelled G-A-B-R-I-E-L, Brother Jabril, or Gabrielle, some pronounce it. You can talk to, you can communicate with him about what's happening with you, and he can come up with a word, not a word, a method by which you can help heal yourself. S-M-A-I, S-M-A-I-F-A-R-M-A-I. C-Y at gmail.com. That's S-M-A-I-F-A-R-M-A-C-Y at gmail.com. Without us, Healthy Marketing Juice Bar. Wadada's Healthy Marketing Juice Bar, located in the West End here in Atlanta, Georgia, on Ralph David Abernathy Boulevard, right across the street from Soul Vegetarian Restaurant, up the street from the Shrine of the Black Madonna, which is unfortunately closed down for a temporary closed for the time being because another the Omicron variant. But check out Wadada's Healthy Marketing Juice Bar, delicious smoothies and health drinks and pastries and teas and so forth, and they have vegan food on Saturday and Sunday, vegan dishes you can buy. They have all the other good stuff there. So check out Wadada's Healthy Marketing Juice Bar. The Medu Bookstore at the Greenbrier Mall. Medu Bookstore at the Greenbrier Mall. Mama Nia has a fine selection of books, postcards, greeting cards, certificates, t-shirts, figurines, you name it, she has it. Give her a call. Give her a call at 404-346-3263. That's 404-346-3263. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. My good brother Gazimdi Ajamu with the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia. That's east of Atlanta on I-20. Excuse me, family. Contact my good brother Gazimdi Ajamu at 404-519-8107. That's 404-519-8107. That's the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore. He has a delicious coffee bar serving teas and coffees and pastries and bean pie. Yep. So give him a call at 404-519-8107. There is light in the Black Dot. Afroletics. Afroletics has a shop, has a store in the new Black Wall Street Market located in Stonecrest. And that's also east of here. That's east of even the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore on Pleasant Hill Road. And then you make a right and go down, I think it's this third light, make a right, and then on your left. It used to be a Target store. It used to be a Target store. They're doing great work there. And check them out at the new Black Wall Street Market. And not only does Afroletics, which is a athletic apparel with Afrocentric themes like the Zulus, the Dogon Star Seed, and the Ma'ats, the Omecs, the Moors, the Herus, you know. So, but my good brother, brother Michael McGee Jr., he has CBD oil there, so forth. And my good friend Asajifo Saj, he has his jewelry and artwork at the new Black Wall Street Market. Check it out. Cafe. Excuse me, no. Us Lifting Us. Us Lifting Us, the economic development cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa. Us Lifting Us is every Thursday night at from 9 to 10. Every Thursday night from 9 to 10 on Blog Talk Radio. That's blogtalkradio.com/ULU. Us Lifting Us, the economic development cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa. Cooperative economics, or as we like to say, family-centered economics. But also you can listen to the program and give your questions, comments, or concerns by dialing 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. Us Lifting Us. Homeland Village. Next Monday, I hope to have Brother Abijah on the program with me next Monday. Homeland Village is in Macon, Georgia, 2910 Napier Avenue in Macon. And you can give the brother a call. He's closed on Monday, so from Tuesday to Sunday he's open from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. And Brother Abijah's number is 478-256-1166. 478-256-1166. He has an array of all kinds of stuff in his store, man. Every corner is utilized, but it's beautiful. You know, clothing, jewelry, furniture, books, CDs, DVDs. He even has a vegan restaurant in the store. That's right. In the store. Yes. Baba Barudi Ackerman House. Let me just say this first, that Baba Barudi is going to be on a radio program on YouTube, Thursday night,
you know, and the program deals with the war report, Oba Olayenka, featuring Baba Baruti. That is Thursday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, YouTube.com/DOTHAKNOWLEDGERADIE radio. Not the knowledge radio. Radio. So anyway, I chanced to listen to Baba Baruti, and what they're discussing, of course, is the war report. Because we're at war. We are at war. And of course, what Baba Baruti does is prepare our young warriors. And he needs your assistance. So make your check of money order out to Akabin Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. Or you can use Cash App or PayPal. If you use Cash App, the dollar sign, YAA, the letter MBARUTI, Baruti. Also, too, you can buy the books from AkabinHouse.com. AkabinHouse.com. You can buy the books. Oh, okay. See, I know I was missing something. Of course I was missing. Sun Goddess Sense. Sun Goddess Sense, your one-stop natural shop located at 4140 Jonesboro Road in Forest Park, Georgia. Inside the International Discount Mall, booth 225. For more information, please give our sister Shelly Amonset a call at 404-434-7963. That's 404-434-7963. Sun Goddess Sense, your one-stop natural shop. And, of course, our sister Gabrielle Aurelia, who has been doing outstanding work in the northeastern part of the island of Haiti. She deserves to be supported, doing great work with the kids. When you go to sanjay-haiti.org, you see the work that she's doing with our children in education, health care, sustainable agriculture, and, of course, entrepreneurship. So go to the website at Sanjay, S-O-N-J-E-Haiti, A-Y-I-T-I.org, sanjay-haiti.org. Yeah. Good morning, family. I did it. I got through it well, almost. I got to read the Inye Sesem first. So I always try to make it at least get this under half hour so I can, you know, try it. But I keep adding stuff to it. But believe me, things that come at me, I feel I need to share with you. And hopefully you, in turn, will share with others, but also, too, more importantly, act on them. January 23rd, work on your reputation until it is established. When it is established, it will work for you. Ashe, Tunisian proverb. Those doing the least amount of work toward liberating, empowering, and making African people sovereign are doing the most talking about what others are not doing or what they ignorantly perceive has a contradictions in their work. The reputations are far too many claiming frontline membership have come to build an idle, self-serving, counterproductive chatter, not concrete community evaluating nation-building action. This must change. The balance must tip toward quiet, though not speechless, workers. For one's reputation is not found in words, at least not for warriors. And what they have done foretells what they are bound to do. The best are the best because they have long strived to be the best. We must see them coming, eagerly awaiting their arrival. Because of their quality of service, they have already given to the people. Certainly they have flaws. Errors among them is inevitable because they are human. But the beauty that they have brought to our lives before the errors greatly outweighs the impact their personal struggles have on us. We know them through their reputations. We know them through the evidence of their work. I say, affirm my reputation is well established. Affirm my reputation is well established. I truly like that one because I agree with that. I always say I don't have any money because I don't. But what I do have is my word, which is your reputation. And I stand on that. I try my best to be the best man I can be to help my people. And I wish all of us were that way, having respect for one another, have respect for elders, respect for children, respect
this
for women.
This call may be recorded or transcribed.
So I believe that that is the best thing for us as African people to do. That level of respect. That level of respect is the best thing that we can do. Affirm, my reputation is well established. January 24th. Each generation must assume the responsibility of securing their manhood, their womanhood, the definition of their being on earth, that in the final analysis is nationhood. Dr. John Henry Clark. Anytime I can quote Dr. John Henry Clark, I'm honored. If anybody knows me, knows that I love Dr. John Henry Clark. Dr. John Henry Clark to me is, well, anyway, one of the best educators, best fighters for our people, along with all the others, all his other buddies, Dr. Ben, Dr. Chancellor Williams, Dr. John G. Jackson, all the contemporaries. Them men are just outstanding, and women. Freedom, a self-defining dynamic power, is a permanent responsibility. It requires constant care and attention. It must be guided for the eternity of its existence. This fact is what makes our quest to ensure our liberation endless. It will never stop except we stop. And if we stop, our liberation will be lost, possibly forever. There is nothing in the universe which says a people who became willfully enslaved cannot remain so until they are genocidally removed from existence. Let me repeat. There is nothing in the universe which says that a people who became willfully enslaved cannot remain so until they are genocidally removed from existence. And one generation cannot guarantee its progeny its liberation. It can provide the wisdom and means to gain a sustained liberation, but it cannot force a generation to want to be free through its own volition. An adult cannot be made to stand by his or her parents. Ashe. Affirm, I assume responsibility for our freedom. Affirm, I assume responsibility for our freedom. Brothers and sisters, the Inye Sesem of daily revolutionary thought. Brothers and sisters, we're going to talk about reparations. My good friend, Sister Saida, sent me this particular piece. It comes out of an article, Marley Kay. I'm not sure what it, the medium. A reparations discussion for descendants of freedmen continue. Vultures began to swarm. Has reparations discussions for descendants of the freedmen continue? Vultures began to swarm. Other racial groups have always been descendants of the freedmen. Has their life preservers in piggy banks? They're coming from an Adolphic perspective, which is, of course, I don't agree with. Understand something about reparations. As far as I'm concerned, reparations means to repair a people, you know, and I know that we argued for reparations because of our captivity as a way for us to get some money. You know, I mentioned this many times from this Caucasian named Charles Cutheimer, who died a few years ago. And he wrote an article way back in the 70s, late 70s, maybe early 80s, probably late 70s. And in it, he talked about we should give them reparations. We gave them affirmative action. We gave them welfare. We gave them this. We gave them that. Give them reparations. Because of the mindset that they have, we'll get the money right back in just a matter of months. Give them reparations. 20,000 an individual, 40,000 a family. It'd be like a big stimulus. Just like they want to do, remember back years ago, they want to stimulate the economy. Because we're not going to pull the money together to build institutions. We're not going to pull the money together to build schools and so forth. No. There'll be big Cadillac sales and clothing, furs, and so forth, adornments. Give them reparations. And once we've done that, shut the hell up. Don't even come talking about it. And if discrimination happens, you got to prove it. There ain't no more class action lawsuits. If it happens to you, it happens to you. Prove it. Other thing about that is this. You want reparations in dealing within their society. I'm going to get off into this because I'm going to make some commentaries as I read this particular piece. And I want you, our listeners, to as well, if you got to make some comments or there's some concerns that you have, we can, you know, just dial 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We're going to discuss reparations based upon this article, which is a good read, you know, by Marley Kay. Vultures smell money and they're swarming. As freedmen, also too, where I see the word black, I don't use the word black. We're not black. They're not white. They're Caucasians. They're Europeans. And because they control the narrative, when they started the word white. Yeah. To separate themselves from others. And many of them started, some of them couldn't even be in the white group. Like the Irish weren't in the white group until later. And of course there's honorary whites, particularly like the Japanese, because their economic is so white, you know, of course they mean pure and good. So for black, sullied, evil, sinister, you know, in their definition. That's why if you check out or go online to Ozzie Davis's The English Language Is My Enemy, Muhammad Ali, a couple of discussions that he had talking about white is angel food cake, you know, black chocolate get devil food cake, you know, just reinforcing these images, you know. So I don't use the word black or white. I use European or Caucasians, Yorugu. I use African or American African. African, we are Africans. Yes, brothers and sisters, you may not want to be, but we are Africans. We are Africans. And boy, if we embraced it, Africans on the continent, Africans in the diaspora, we ain't got to beg nobody for a damn thing. We really have all that we need. And yes, I would still go for reparations because look what you have done. Look what you have done to us. Look at the continent. We're Caucasians, even to this day. Look up, go to YouTube, Howard Nichols. I think it's Nichols. If it's not Howard Nichols, it might be Nicholas, but I think it's Howard Nichols. Talking about we got to keep Africa poor. We got to keep them at each other so we can take their resources. We don't have to pay big dollars for their, so we can just take their stuff. And if we got to eliminate them, so be it. So let's do it. Let us begin. As freedmen, African descendants of captivity, slavery, of course, and this is Adolf's African descendants of slaves. I hate it. Hate that acronym. And then, of course, FBA is Foundational Black Americans. Foundational Black. I don't know what that really means. Maybe that's the freedmen group. And other gained traction in their organizations for reparations. Vultures, other racial groups, have begun swarming. For example, since ADOS and FBA have been advocating for reparations, non-African people like Democratic Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez of New York, AOC, have attempted to co-opt the movement and redirect discussions to groups who came after us and who came here willingly for a better life. Recently, AOC, or Cortez, invoked reparations for minority groups. I hate that word, minority, because Europeans, they are the minority. Big time. For America's poor, COVID response. Minority means everything under the kitchen sink today, thanks to intersectionality. Intersectionality. Rich gay white women, trans men, or people who have disabilities due to no fault of their own receive reparations simply because under the Civil Rights Act, they are deemed minorities. Words matter. Stories matter. Specificity must matter. Muddling the waters by Cortez is intentional. A while ago, she made a comment about Latinos being African and equating American Africans and the Latinx communities as one and the same, because she wanted to insert the Latinx community into the Black Lives Matter movement, a movement started for African grassroots by African grassroots before it was co-opted by vultures. Yeah. If you know anything about the Black Lives Matter movement, we did a program, I believe, last year on that. If you want to go to the Black Lives Matter website, please do so, and it'll tell you who they are, the homosexual women who started it, and other issues, and of course George Soros, who finances them, and so forth. Cortez received a lot of pushback from the African grassroots for her comments, and have been side-eyeing the younger ever since. She knows she's a Caucasian passing grandfather, Latino Xer, and she doesn't fool up with African people outside of work, unless they're famous, of course. I digress. Nobody wants to be associated with American African people until we're either mobilized and moving toward goals, fighting for rights or reparations, or they need us for something, i.e. votes. The more we try to separate ourselves from other groups to advocate for ourselves, the more other groups latch on like leeches to enjoy the ride. And of course, I came on the Milwaukee Fire Department through affirmative action. And believe me, the people who advocated and fought for affirmative action across this country were us. We're the ones who made the sacrifices. And the government allowed others to bring on the coattails. White women. I said, they're not a minority. They're more white women than any damn thing. That's why I've often advocated we shouldn't pay into Social Security, because we don't live long enough to benefit. White women. But other so-called groups, and the indigenous people, the Native American, the Hispanics, and so forth, the Asians, all of these other groups benefited from affirmative action. But the biggest beneficiary of affirmative action were Caucasian women. Yeah. Cassiel Cortez also recently demanded reparations for migrant families, blaming America for conditions in their home countries. Migrant families came here on their own. American African people did not. And while America may have played a role in the conditions of their countries via geopolitical war games, that had nothing to do with American African people. She continues to group her calls for reparations with ours. Again, it's intentional. It's politics. It's an effort to usher in that Hispanic, that Latina X power that Biden told us about during his call with the civil rights leaders, and most importantly, an effort to decenter American African people. America's stepchild can't have any attention shown to them without some other group getting mad and needing to compare themselves to us. The LGBTQISGD communities, the feminists, disabled people, agents, and other non-Caucasian racial groups, and even Caucasian men, for God's sakes, love comparing themselves to the plights of American Africans who are enslaved, our struggle, and our trauma. Vultures gonna vulture. It works so well and so often for them. They just keep doing it. American Africans have helped themselves almost to extinction. We're the poor than all other groups. Our communities are the most gentrified. Our women earn the lower wages than all other women in the workforce, professional or otherwise. Our men have the highest unemployment rates, the most incarcerated, killed at higher rates by police. American African women are abused sexually more than any other group of women. We're selected less for juries, and let's not get into America's history of specifically targeting us. So please don't try to tell me all minorities are created equal. We're not. The only people who seemingly cannot understand this or choose not to understand this are the vultures and the leeches desiring to co-opt, erase, and move into getting their they've apparently deemed what is valuable. In my opinion, AOC clearly doesn't understand what reparations are for, nor does she care about who should be entitled to them. She definitely has no respect for American Africans, as she works to erase the bulldoze us every chance she gets. The oppression of Olympics is real with people from other groups and immigrants, and those folks will express their anti-Africanness in a myriad of ways. People like Ocasio-Cortez are people we can always count on to counter anything we do. Clearly, she sees something in it for her or people she cares for, even if those people came into the country illegally, even if these people already have privileges and power. This is why specificity matters. Specificity. Gotta have some specificity. That's right. Specificity matters. Other groups are eyeing ADOS's reparations effort as well. God, I hate that, ADOS. American descendants of slaves. Edgar Villanueva, someone else who has inserted himself and his organization into the reparations movement for freedmen, clearly serves as chair of the board of directors of Native Americans in Philanthropy, NDN Collective, and is a board member of the Andreas Family Fund, a national foundation that works to improve outcomes for vulnerable youth. He has zero experience with reparations, nor does he appear to have experience working with American African communities. You'll notice there is a theme here: non-African people and advocacy groups with non-African issues are attempting to attract themselves to anything that we help us. American African folks help them get. Sometimes something in the milk ain't clear. And this pattern of people and groups asserting themselves into American African reparations discussions without formal relationships with grassroots is highly suspicious. American African folks need to really pay attention to these folks, their words, their insertions into our grassroots advocacy for African issues. Vultures and grifters and grafters are going to vulture and graft. They just can't get away with it on my watch. Those folks need to know. We see them and we know what they're doing. Our reparations can't be for everybody. When Native Americans sued the government for reparations, they didn't include freedmen living on the reservations. They did not. In fact, one of the things that was very disturbing for me when the Oklahomans got reparations and they denied the African people who came with them on the Trail of Tears, and they denied them a fair share of the reparations that this government gave them. And they stated, if you can't prove that you're a full-blooded Cherokee or whatever it was, then you get nothing. Once again, I go to that great ancestor, Dr. John Henry Clark. We have no friends. Brothers and sisters, we have no friends. You want a friend? Go look in the mirror. And don't leave that mirror till you like what you see. I ain't talking about the shape of your nose, the cleft in your chin, the dimples in your cheeks. I'm talking about you like who you see historically. You like who you see culturally. You like your dark skin or your light skin if that's the case. But you love what you see and you love us. We love each other. When Native Americans sued the government for reparations, they didn't include anyone who were not Native Americans. They even excluded the freemen living on reservations. When the Japanese sued the government for being held in internment camps, no one called to consult with American African people. When European Jews received compensation for the Holocaust atrocities, American African people weren't included because American Africans were not present when the crimes were committed. Groups have the right to advocate for their own interests and seek recompense. So do American African descendants, and so do we. Other groups are joining our fight for reparations with no conversation and with no rationale for joining. Some other groups aren't even known allies of us. As we mobilize in an effort to secure reparations for our 400 plus years of trauma and counting, other groups are rolling up to the line trying to take over, at least insert themselves into our claim. For instance, recently a group called Decolonize Wealth hopped into the scene to speak on reparations for freedmen. Most of us have never heard of these individuals or this organization before. Edgar Villanueva, and here's the piece he had here. The Decolonized Wealth is honored to be on the forefront of organizing philanthropy to use its resources and platforms to advance reparations and healing in the U.S. and globally. This is a powerful summary of our influence and work in the field. Inside Philanthropy. For more than 20 years, advocates have been calling for reparations for American Africans for the harm of captivity, Jim Crow, and more. Now, some major foundations are getting on board, Don Wolf reports. I've been following a number of movements centered on reparations, and one led by someone with the least name of Villanueva isn't one. Sister Yvette Cornell, the founder of Breaking Brown, and the catalyst for the ADOS movement that I followed for years, noticed Decolonize Wealth Fund recent post and immediately became suspicious. Decolonize Wealth Fund is a fund via Liberated Capital, a donor community and funding vehicle aimed at moving untethered resources to American, African, Indigenous, and other people of color communities for liberation and racial healing. In my personal opinion, an organization currently created to assist Indigenous and other people of color branching into reparations for freedmen are uber problematic because, number one, it muddies the black-brown waters. Different groups have different issues and needs. Number two, erases us and lumps groups together unnecessarily as black people, as African people are desperately seeking to disaggregate ourselves for the purpose of reparations. For the purpose of reparations policies for American Africans. And number three, for this Liberated Capital group raising money for the Decolonizing Wealth Fund, there are no American African people associated with the venture. And number four, non-African groups attracting themselves to reparations cause for freedom will be a way for Liberated Capital to use money secured for freedmen to aid other groups via interests accrued by funds received or by selecting organizations and groups that have been deemed eligible, which may be problematic. People and organizations coming out of the cracks suddenly volunteering to help us without a track record or having a relationship is always a red flag. And it should be a red flag for a lot of our people. If you're coming for a position of power and in a capacity of leading instant, of following and on the humble it is a red flag. Okay. Anything that was a red flag was an organization. Anything that was a red flag was the organization is associated with the Schott Institute. Schott Institute. The Schott Foundation, a Democratic Party dark money Trojan horse, apparently used to buy off American African politicians, co-opt American African movements, and mislead American African voters politically. The National American African Justice Coalition's head has ties with the Schott Foundation, who has ties to former Florida gubernatorial candidate Andrew Gillum and all of his campaign troubles. And of course, you remember Andrew Gillum running for governor and didn't get it. That asshole Ron DeSantis got it, and it was bull. But then he was exposed in a hotel with some other Caucasian men and cocaine and all kind of, yeah. Wow. That was deep, wasn't it? And he's out there in the hotel with these Caucasian men. Took some stuff and fell out or passed out or something like that. And very unfortunate. The Schott Foundation is anti-reform educational foundation under federal investigation, funding dark monies that tied to a number of Democratic Party political candidates in the past. These foundations and funds are often used to mislead us. I hope you read the piece. It's political season, and we need to be more savvier in our politics. When it comes to money, new people, American African people, we must follow the money trail, all of them, every connection, every single time, without ceasing. It seems everyone wants everything we have, or in the least somehow to be next to us, because they understand we are the nation's movers and shakers. American African people get things done for everybody except themselves. Also, grifters are going to grift. Folks are beginning to get really slick with their grifts, though. Many reparationists are feeling as if we're surrounded by vampires. We're surrounded by vampires. The attempt to colonize freedmen's reparations by Villanueva stood out like a sore thumb. Yvette Cornell, ADOS founder of ADOS Movement, an active grassroots reparationist, called out what appeared to be drafting and territory encroachment. And here she states, what's going on here? Everyone came to share. And of course, this is the article that Edgar Villanueva put out. The decolonized wealth is honored to be on the forefront of organizing philanthropy to use its resources and platform to advance reparations and healing in the U.S. and globally. This is a powerful summary of our influence and work in the field. I followed the money of decolonizing wealth and read from the comments of the tweets and found the organization had little to do with reparations activism prior to 2020 call for reparations. We figure out this donor advised fund is likely seeking to be a conservatorship for reparations money, if there ever is any, and they are seeking to position themselves to be in the running or in some sort of Trojan horse set to counter decentered ADOS, American descendants of slaves. Don't you just hate that, man? Crazy, right? Crazy, right? Yes, it is. Check out the list of previous. I'm going to tell you what. I'm going to take a break at this time because this is long. And once we're done, I want you to join in this conversation. Let me know how you feel. Let me know how you feel about reparations. Let me know how you feel about what I've just read. And, of course, you know, because my contention is we as African people must petition to all those who have harmed us. We must petition once we get our act together on the continent, because it's the only place that we can do it, the only place that we can make a claim and it be legitimate. It is not here. We cannot be sovereign here. We can't even be free here. No, it will not work. But anyway, once it happens, then we go to all those who harmed us, particularly Europe, and that includes America. And the repair And the reparations is for repair. It's for nation building, institution building, infrastructure building. It's to repair education. It is not so you can get a goddamn check. It's repair. Well, brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us on this very important topic. We're discussing reparations.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Yeah, yeah. That was hot. All right, this next poet is from our hometown. He describes himself as a ritual poet, combining elements of drama, chant, and ritual into his work. Ladies and gentlemen, from Brooklyn, I'm proud and honored to present Sekou Sundiata.
Hotter up here than I expected. Thank you. I think all the other poets raised the temperature. Come on and bring on the reparations. Oh, master of the perfect word, universe, technological forked tongue, riddle me this. If the Chinese can come from China and the French can come from France, what made you think you could get niggas out of Africa in the first place? Just because you put puppies in the oven, that don't make them biscuits? Right. Reparations on GP. Come on and bring on the reparations. For all the unrequited home runs, brothers be burning up the bases, the crowd be going mad, brothers be crossing over home plate, go outside and can't get a cab. For little Richard teaching the Beatles how to scream like Aunt Jemima without their pancakes. And all the other dark and unknown rockers electrified, the Republic sanctified, shaking that Cold War out the booty body politic. Come on and bring on the reparations. For the beat in beatnik, white Negroes and such, getting off up under that great music and them little ass five spots. For the jazz in the jazz age, making your women wiggle and squirm and you trying to twist and do the worm. Your abstract expressionism jism dripping. You might say, if I was you, I would go on the road and howl too. Jimmy Dean and Elvis, they can go to wherever they went. Marilyn too, except she got caught in a trick and got bent out of that cute little shape she had going. Come on and bring on the reparations. For the Birmingham Gospels, four little girls come Sunday. For the Jesus remix in those redneck streets, fire hose, mad dog, crucifix. And what exactly did you say you was doing at the time of our soft shoe on the rock of edges? For the privilege in your skin, a wounded knee, a trail of tears for the Indian in us. Come on and bring on the reparations. For the spook with the metal detector sitting by your door. Open just enough, probably a moon full of cocaine on the table. Monica on her knees doing secret service. You humming mum under wraps. And what about all those flags we so proudly hailed? Marvin Gaye singing, oh, say, can you see? Wearing shades like mirrors at the All-Star game so you can reflect yourself, relaxed and feeling good. The dark looker doing his looking like he was blind, bearing witness to the whiteness of whiteness, pretending you was the only one who could see. 'Tis after all about thee, just like you like it. Mercy, mercy me, and so on and so forth. For the missing royalty checks, and so on and so forth. For VD and Tuskegee called syphilis, and so on and so forth. Think of it. Think of it as a down payment on the interest compounded. Them 40 acres notwithstanding. That mule notwithstanding. Multiplied, quantized, digitized. What to say about forgiveness between you, huh? And your God. Come on and bring on the reparations.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. From Deaf Poetry Jam from years ago, Brother Sandiata, bring on the reparations. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening Media on Mondays from 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Mawia Kemban and Nataki Kemban. Followed by from 9 to 10, Conversation Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey of Encobra. Have you noticed I ain't said a damn thing about Encobra in this article? And they've been on the front lines fighting for reparations for decades. Tuesdays from 8 to 10, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers. On Wednesdays, the Black Farmers Report from 8 to 9 on Wednesdays. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard on Fridays at 8 p.m. Saturday, 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council. And then on Sunday at 7 p.m., once again, Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We're talking about reparations. It's discussions about reparations. And I want you to join this conversation. A little bit more to this article, a little bit more. Maybe another, maybe 10, 15 minutes out, maybe less, whatever. And I want to hear your perspective. This is an article written by Marley Kay in the Medium some years ago. But check it out. Check out the list of previous grantees the Liberated Capital Organization worked with. Most of the grantees were Native American and Hispanic organizations. The organization decided to branch out with no connections or conversations with people who would actually be receiving reparations. Few of the grantee organizations, if or any, were American Africans or served freemen, if any at all. African people just opposed to allow any old group to swoop and offer assistance to us, and then they have no track record of helping our people in the past. I don't think so. Y'all ain't come up here to do that. No other racial group allows interest. No other racial group inserts us into their advocacy. No, let's be real. They don't ask us for a damn thing. We're fine with that. We all have differences, issues, and different fights with this racist government. But don't co-opt our shit because your group can't get anything popping. We're not maids, mammies, and builders for other groups to just suckle when they get hungry or need a house to gather themselves in. We're seeking to disaggregate for the purpose of reparations. And folks seemingly are upset about it. African people have been everyone's life insurance policy for so long, and they can't stop leeching off of us. They are so comfortable and disrespectful. These days they just don't. They do it in our faces. It's up to us as Africans to teach folks how to treat us. It's also our responsibility to control our narrative. Too many people have come in and told us what's right and what's wrong with us and forced us to take our issues and use our issues in advocacy, which isn't ours. Those days are over. We bag ladies are giving folks back their bags and stuff so we can carry our own bags and care for our own children and build our own communities and fight for our own justice. If we don't do it, nobody else will. No true words spoken. Accusation of xenophobia abound. I'm perplexed at the accusations of xenophobia. It is the same thing that I said a few weeks ago when they talked about South Africa, talking about xenophobia, because Africans from other parts of the continent were coming into South Africa getting more highly technical jobs simply because the educational system was not teaching the South Africans, the Azinians, to prepare for technical jobs and the future jobs that were going to happen. So they got some Nigerians, you know, yeah, Nigerians are sharp, you know, some Ghanaians and some Kenyans. And so they were fighting them. Some were even killing them for believing these are our jobs. Well, damn it, be prepared to take the jobs. But, of course, crackers love that. The South African crackers love that, you know. I am perplexed at the accusation of xenophobia Africans face when attempting to delineate themselves from other groups of Africans. See, this is the part that I really detest with ADOS, you know, because they say we're advocating on, which is, of course, their acronym, American Descendants of Slaves. So we ain't talking about Caribbeans. We ain't talking about any other Africans from the diaspora. We sure in the hell ain't talking about Africans on the continent. It's problematic as far as I'm concerned. But we'll talk more. No one accuses people of Asian descent for being xenophobic if Mongolians try to be disaggregated from the Chinese people. People from Thailand or people from India, while they may all live on the same continent, the cultures, languages, and religions are not the same. America teaches us to all use catch-all phrases to group people because America doesn't give a damn or don't give a shit about anyone except Caucasian people. And that is a fact. Before you attack me for being anti-African, think about a few things. It's okay for Nigerians to have Nigerian pride and Jamaicans to be proud of being Jamaican and their heritage and lineage, no matter where they are on the earth. And I agree. Chinatowns are all over America. And here in South Florida, there is an entire community called Little Havana, where Cubans resettled after Castro's coup. Africans don't have a African town anywhere. And if we wanted to name one African town, folks would be upset about it. Remember, they tried to do that in Detroit. America has German towns and Little Mexicos. In Miami, there's a section called Little Haiti, where Haitian Americans or American Haitians, which are Haitian Africans, have lived since the 1970s and 80s. People want to be among their own. People like to be where they know they are safe. Mexicans, I know, hate being confused with Cubans, Guatemalans, or Venezuelans, or Puerto Ricans. There was an issue back in Milwaukee because we have festivals. And there was an issue. They thought, okay, we'll have a Mexican fest, and yeah, all the people of Latino or Latino X will come to. No, they didn't. So, you know, the Puerto Ricans had their festival, and the Mexicans had their festival. Yeah. They are proud of their lineages, and they make sure they aren't confused with Colombians or Dominicans. Although here in America, European Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege, white supremacy, gave them all the catch-all label of Hispanic, Latino X, because Americans couldn't be bothered to learn about where people come from. What's important to Caucasian people in America is that all non-Caucasian immigrants will be subjugated to whiteness upon arrival. That's a fact. You will be subjugated to Caucasianness, to Urugu. To Urugu. But you want to tell African people there need to be specificity and disaggregation is wrong. We're all African. We must get along all the time. And what's ours belongs to everyone. These responses are rooted in zero sum. Please check your selfishness and bias if you have such feelings. Reparations for American African descendants of captivity are imperative. And in order for us to finally get what we owed, we need to disaggregate ourselves from all other African people in this country and tell our stories. Disaggregation is not xenophobic. It's separating history. It's clearing, defining our culture. is telling our own stories, making claims against the government no other Africans in the country can make because they didn't and they don't have the 400-year history. And it's making a case against European, Caucasian, extremism, racism, and privilege, better known as white supremacy. I disagree with this paragraph. I do. I disagree. We'll talk later. Anyone unable to understand this is simply moving selfishly and is looking at what is in the best interest for them personally instead of what's best for American Africans collectively. I'm looking at what's best for African people collectively, not African Americans or American Africans or any other African people, period, wherever we may reside. What kind of fool gets upset because I get repaid for a debt owed to me? An old fool, I suppose. Well, then, mother, call me an old fool because, believe me, just because your ass got paid, just because you got paid, that's the problem. You want to get paid. I want African independence. I want African self-determination. I want African liberation. I want African sovereignty. I want us to truly be independent. Not a paycheck. Not some of the goddamn money. Other African people who believe we may get reparations and they could possibly be excluded are participating in the zero-sum thinking and or leapfrogging, which are tools of the European Caucasian supremacy system that helps none of us in the long run. The bottom line is that anti-Africanness is real, and plenty of people all over the globe engage in it, hating Africans for attempting to disaggregate themselves for the sole purpose of reparations is insane. American African descendants of captivity aren't trying to join Jamaicans' call for reparations from Britain. According to Jamaican's Information Service, the establishment of Reparations Commission and the terms of reference by which it should operate covers Jamaican descendants of captivity, wherever they reside, whether in Jamaica or in the diaspora, in order to consider the interests of a large external Jamaican population. This is the highlighted to clearly delineate the work of the commission and the Jamaican government's power to demand compensation. But damn it, Jamaican, it doesn't mean... You call Jamaican because that's where your ass came from, or me went to, from Africa, or by Bedouins, or Bahamians, or Cubans, or anywhere else. There are more Africans in Brazil than any other place except Nigeria. In Brazil, Brazilian Africans, and they treated like... Jamaicans haven't included Africans in their claim, nor are we demanding to be included in their claims because a big bag of money is at stake. We weren't there. It's not our business. It wasn't our trauma. Yes, it is. It's all of ours. But I'm rooting for every Jamaican to get what they're owed. You get your money. Everybody get their goddamn money. And because of the mindsets that we have and because of what happens, because it's about spend, 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 even in Jamaica, even in Cuba. Maybe not so much in Cuba. Maybe it might be different. Who knows? The radical and ethnic groups attempting to include themselves in our reparations are nothing more than grifters. People today who are moved by feelings instead of history have been most problematic. American Africans are not xenophobic. We just need specificity to make our claims against the people who not only enslaved us and our ancestors, but continue to practice racial discrimination after freedmen were emancipated and after Reconstruction to this very day. Remember, America has quotas for African immigrants until the 1960s. It's kind of hard to claim reparations when their families weren't here during our immediate or after our captivity. Furthermore, you don't find any Africans or Caribbeans outside of the metropolitan areas. All American Africans, descendants of our captivity, have roots that can be traced back to the Deep South. Very few captives were brought here from the Caribbean during captivity. That is not true. They seasoned many of our brothers and sisters in the Caribbean and brought them here. Understand the history. In fact, because we're one. We're not Cuban. We're not Jamaican. We're African. In fact, now all Africans, people were captives. This is true. There are people hailing from African continent who have never been enslaved. Should they receive reparations? They were colonized. And yes, they were enslaved. If your ass didn't get enough rubber or enough whatever in Belgium, they cut off your hand. They make chocolate hands to this damn very day because of what they did. They cut off hands. They cut off feet. Look what the Germans did in what is now called Namibia. Brothers and sisters, this is tough. This is a tough read for me, as you can see. This is a very tough read, but it's a good read. In fact, not all African people were captives. There are people hailing from African continent who have never been enslaved. Should they receive reparations? Blackness is not a monolith. I hate that. We should be a monolith, damn it. You know, we're not a monolith. I mean, we have our own thinking that has been influenced by Europeans. We need to come to terms with that we need to be a monolith. We experience being African in America differently from obvious reasons. If you know, you know. Let's acknowledge that and to not be offended when different African groups are fighting for their own interests. At the end of the day, the resentment is a result of African folks taking on Caucasian zero-sum mindset. Not our monkeys, not our circus. I don't know what that means. This is business for us. And for once, American Africans need to put themselves first. We can't help. We can't keep believing we got to wait until we get to heaven to receive justice and reparations for all the dirty shit Caucasian people and their trusty gatekeepers from hell have done to us. We're poor. We're sick. We're struggling. African folks are dying. European and Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege, white supremacy, is the root of it all. No one called Native Americans xenophobic when they sued for reparations. No one calls them xenophobic for kicking out Black Choctaw and Black Cherokee nations off of reservations. It should have been an issue that we all came together on. American African freedmen just want to advocate reparations without it being a competition. We also need to get our ducks in a row and cut down on grafters. I have thoughts about what we should be doing to get ready for reparations. We need reparation activists, ASAP. There are several things ADOS and FBA and reparationists need to do to prevent the co-opting and drifting and grafting reparations by other groups looking to cash in on reparations. Other groups have been able to position themselves in ways the Freeman reparationists have not, because we have never received recompense unlike other racial groups in America, such as Native Americans, Mexicans, European Jews, and the Japanese. So we need to get educated, skilled on reparations and reparations management. African people need to be able to manage their reparations, have appropriate, highly skilled persons as well as concerned community members capable of directing resources where they are needed. We need community development, people to manage these cities, develop banks and credit unions to hold American African reparations funds and to support American African businesses and nonprofits, financial literacy education, tech specialists, African systems to sustain African people, educators, African people skilled in business, city, and community planning, everything. We need trusted conservators nationally, and those people need to be trusted by us as a people. Get skills so we can be ready to hit the ground running. Form community development vehicles ASAP. If reparations are provided to descendants, African communities have few African-owned, African-operated community development vehicles ready to put the money to work to build. Local communities need to develop, community development corporations, community financial development corporations, and land trust groups. We urban planners and other such individuals who may have the vision to plan for our future, create lobbying groups for local, state, and federal policies. In order to get anything done in America, you must first do it through politics. Politics simply puts is paid to play. Politics, that's what I'm saying. To hell with this system. Pay to play. African people haven't been good at playing politics the way Caucasians requires. You know, reparations in hand will have the same leverage we have never had before. We need attorneys, individuals with bachelor's degrees, and other experienced professionals ready to do battle for our community with crooked politicians as professional lobbyists. We need lobbyists now, but we definitely will need them if we receive reparations. Data analysis and data collectors will be essential. We need to begin collecting and maintaining data on ourselves. We need to count ourselves, study ourselves, and disseminate information to others about African people. When we control the data, we can control our narrative. Having people who understand how to collect and maintain data will be essential for managing our reparations and competing for other pots of funds, as those opportunities present themselves. Data tells stories, and we need our own data collecting plans, politics, and a process to our benefit. We will always need software engineers to develop proprietary databases so that our info won't be sold or compromised. Attorneys will be necessary. During the reparations process and afterwards, we will need intelligent, hardworking attorneys, not ambulance chasers, well-versed in America's legal system to represent our interests, projects, etc. If you don't understand the law, you can't do much of anything. We need good African lawyers and we need good African lawyers and great white ones, great European ones, great Urugu lawyers who can work without sabotaging our grassroots efforts. Yeah. Good luck with that, dude. My contention is I don't want the Caucasian, I don't give a damn how well meaning. I don't want Caucasians in nothing that we do to repair ourselves. Nothing. Secure or develop strong proposal writers. People with strong writing skills are going to be essential to pushing reparation agendas and conveying plans for the Freedmen's government. These individuals will need to have government speaking and policy experiences as well as great writing skills. People able to think clearly and create plans for what to do once reparations are received are going to be vital. Pre and post reparations. Follow the money. There is plenty of dark money in politics meant to keep us divided. When new groups approach grassroots reparations efforts, especially those not run by us, your antennas should immediately go up. Follow the money and you'll find the dead cats on the line. Develop a nation building mindset. We talk about nation building, but it's not here. To direct as possible, we need to think of our nation building the same way we think of getting out of poverty. As a class or a group, we're poor. We're starting over with almost no wealth, no liquid assets, but we have plenty of people willing to use their skills and ability to lay the foundation for a pathway to our future. Being poor is hard and requires a lot of work, more work than any are accustomed to, and more work than most African folks are willing to put in. Reparation is serious about being ready for the possibilities of financial recompense. Are going to have a nation-building mindset prior to the money hitting the bank. If we've been poor, you know how making something shake. Making something out of nothing is what we do best. To win this long fight against the government for reparations and care for the collective, a mindset change is required. We're going to lose battles, but we can't give up because the nation is depending on us. You can never stop nation building because dumbasses are focused on professional sports, entertainment, entertainers, gossip blogs, and other things that won't and can't build us up. Someone's got to lay a foundation, plan, develop the blueprints, and build the communities so that people can come. Be about nation building business at all times and connect with like-minded individuals online and in person when the air is clear, of course. Develop legal vehicles to prevent co-opting. If you don't read my piece I wrote on debauchery, the debauchery of the Black Lives Movement and how the movement was stolen and co-opted by grifters, you should. African people have a history of coining phrases and slogans, protesting, and then suddenly losing control of those messages because those affiliated with the original advocacy groups failed to incorporate and become a legal responsible vehicle able to fundraise, holding their communities and themselves accountable and preventing grafters from coming into town, raising money off of their efforts or our efforts. We live in a nation where anything goes, and we have a legal system that respects certain ways of doing things. A legal advocacy group or nonprofit legitimizes your efforts and prevents dusty Black men from with blue vested like D-Ray from writing ass organizations like National Black Lives Matter organizations from coming to your town, co-opting your movement. Developing a strong, responsive, working, legalized nonprofit organization is a fairly easy task, though many feels it's intimidating. I'll share a quick version to get you started. To start, you need to visit your representative state Secretary of State office online to conduct a name search for your new nonprofit business. If the name is available, you'll need to secure it right away. If you're not ready to formally incorporate the business at the time of the search, there is usually a small fee to reserve business names in your state. Once that's done, you'll need to select a business structure, depending on if you're a group or an individual. For profit or nonprofit, your business structure may vary. Yes, nonprofit organizations are businesses, just tax-exempt ones. I recommend the tax-exempt route to begin with, to avoid issues and branch out once your advocacy is fleshed out. Next, you need to apply for EIN number, Employer Identification Number, EIN number, and register your business in the state where the business will be headquartered and where the physical work will take place. If you're creating a national advocacy organization, you need to make its home where the founders reside. Once your organization business is registered in your state, you're ready to do business. Make sure you read your state laws regarding how your business structure is supposed to operate and reporting requirements in order to avoid getting jammed up. Lastly, you need to apply for a federal tax exemption if you need to be able to accept and make grants, lure prospective donors with tax-exempt donation perks, engage in economic and community development via the public-private partnerships, and avoid heavy tax bills. Doing the right things at the very beginning will help your group avoid huge headaches, save you lots of embarrassment, and stop grafters who are positioning to take advantage of American African suffering. Basically, it cancels everyone's life insurance policy. If you're afraid of completing the process yourself and believe you're not going to do it, your filings properly, there are legal software programs such as LegalZoom and Rocket Lawyer who aid in business and nonprofit filing processes for a fee, in addition to all the filing fees for the respective state filing. Everything costs money, so be prepared. Nothing in life is free. Creating a nonprofit organization shows you're ready to do business and helps your group develop a track record. People always want to know if you have experience building and maintaining large sums of money with verifiable experiences. Creating this type of organization provides the proof and track record you'll need for management and administrative support after your organization is formed via Visit the National Council of Nonprofits for free resources. Keep your eyes open. As the New World Order transition continues, expect to be disrespected, co-opted, talked down to, receive suspicious offers to help out of nowhere, and be falsely accused of being a Russian bot, threats, etc., by the mainstream media or by the mainstream of the society. I've seen quite a few American African empowerment groups vilified by the mainstream media over the last two election cycles. When I saw ADOS labeled as a Russian bot after I watched the group grow organically online for years, I knew the government was backed up to its old bullshit trying to control its opposition. Vet all people. Vet all of us. Vet African people. We all know anti-African people exist across the diaspora, but we refuse to vet them, which allows them to destroy us from within. They basically do the job of Urugu, of the Caucasian. They are a lot of greedy, disrespectful, anti-African, anti-American African, Africans all over the diaspora. Anyone off code and unclear about the goals and objectives of American Africans should be excluded from the reparations endeavors. There are plenty of non-ADOS folks who are happy to lend hands and voices to our effort, but we can't have folks off code. The biggest mistake of every grassroots empowerment group is the U.S. that had the support of the people was to vet the African people in its ranks consistently. The Black Panthers were infiltrated by the FBI and the CIA. So was the Southern Christian Leadership Conference. So was the Nation of Islam and the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee. African activism is a threat to America and the world, for that matter. If we take back what's ours, Caucasian people wouldn't have a damn thing. So they all are vested in keeping us from loving ourselves, fighting for and with each other, and ignoring the fact they all support the government's mislabeling of African empowerment as African extremism. African folks need to be vetted when dealing with anything related to African empowerment, especially African immigrants, as they tend to have a blindness to America's violence and exclusion of African Americans from mainstream society. Some of us will sell our mamas down the river for Caucasian gaze, a pat on the head, a Caucasian gaze, a pat on the head by the police, an opportunity to the only African person in the room, and a couple of grand. African liberation includes quests for reparations, and Caucasians will do anything to stop us from freeing ourselves, including using African people to control our opposition. Vet them, vet, and vet them again. We Africans aren't loyal despite all we've been through. Sadly, some of us love Caucasians more than we love ourselves. The process to vet us should be built into all reparations efforts as well as any other African endeavor. I am pro-African, but I also understand we don't all have the same motives or affinity for all African people. In certain situations, in order to liberate ourselves, we must disaggregate from African people across the diaspora, unwilling or unable to fight Caucasian supremacy with the enthusiasm or the rigor we have, and be uncompromising when doing so. Expect excuses, pushback from Caucasian people, and lots of it. None of this is new. Most Caucasian people practice racism and inequity habitually, and they've benefited from the system whether they admit it or not. When they aren't physically engaging in it, they are verbally practicing opposition to equality with excuses and pushback. Expected. Practice not being surprised. Learn all the tired excuses they use and develop comebacks using data. Don't bother reading Caucasian views about Caucasian opposition written by Caucasian people. They all saying the same damn thing. And most journalists are trying to talk about reparations do so using the same viewpoints which center on Caucasian thoughts and their opposition and their rationales on what wealth should look like for us. Remember, most Caucasian people believe in zero sum. in their small minds, someone has to lose in order for another to win. Most American Africans and indigenous groups didn't live or think like this prior to colonization. Decolonizing your mind requires not engaging with the Urugu, with Caucasian people, in reparation discussion. If and when they present zero-sum angst, it's not our job to try to keep convincing them overtly racist people they need to do right by us. These days are long gone. We just need to show them their debts, give them the bill, and demand recompense, period. American African people need to be about the business and planning for their futures. If they don't do the work, no one else will. Folks are standing around waiting to take our places and willing to undermine us at every turn, to stab us in our backs, stealing our rights, taking our reparations away if we don't let them, if we let them. We care about everyone but ourselves far too long in America. It's time to focus on ourselves. Guilt-free self-care is the best care. Marley K, 2022. You can follow Marley K on Medium, YouTube. YouTube at Marley K, Twitter here at Marley K 20, and on the website marleykisms.com, or support the work that the brother's doing. It's Kofi Marley K. What do you think? I told you what I think. I do believe in reparations. But reparations is not the problem for us. We need unity. We need functional unity. We need to embrace the Nguza Saba of unity, self-determination, collective work and responsibility, cooperative economics, purpose, creativity, faith. We need to embrace ma'at of truth, justice, righteousness, harmony, reciprocity, order, and balance. We embrace those things into our everyday lives. It's all that we need to come together. And then as we build and grow, we make demands to Europeans, Americans, Australians, whatever the hell you want to call them, Caucasian people, Urugu, demand for the wealth that they have stolen from us, for what they have done to us physically, mentally, psychologically, theologically, giving us that damn bullshit-ass religion, messing up our minds. Return everything that is European to Europeans. Embrace nothing that they present. If it is not African, kick it to the curb. That's where we should be. That's where we must be. Because if we're not there, we ain't gonna be anywhere. Us demanding reparations from the United States. What the brother put out and laid out in terms of organizing, in terms of community development, organizational development, they're there already, but they're co-opted. They're there already. But they function within this system. The problem, dear brothers and sisters, with what I just read, is that it relies on this system to somehow change the way it does things, change the way it operates, change the minds of Europeans. We can't do that. We will not be able to do that. We damn it should stop trying to. We have tried so desperately to deal with them morally, righteously. They are immoral. They give less than a rat's ass. And yet we continue to try. Get out of their politics. Get out of everything. Brothers and sisters, the Exodus in the Bible didn't happen. Okay? There were no Hebrews being enslaved in Kemet by evil pharaohs. So if that didn't happen, so no Moses didn't happen, okay? And he didn't go up on Mount Sinai and get a message from God, taking 10 of the 42 declarations of Ma'at, taking 10 to bring them back down to tell to the Hebrew people of what they must do. And saw that they reverted back to old gods and other ways and bad ways, and he threw the 10 commandments at them and blew them up. They fell into the earth, supposedly, as the movie shows. I don't know what the Exodus states in the Bible, but it didn't happen. My point blank clear. It didn't happen. But we must have an Exodus. We must have an Exodus. We must get out of this mind and then get out of this land and return to our land, to our motherland. And the brothers and sisters there recognize and understand that we are coming home to work together to make Africa a player in the world instead of the pawn to be exploited and raped and pillaged. It is not Nigerians. It is not Cameroonians. It is not Ghanaians. It is not Kenyans. It is not Assini. No, it's not. It's Africans. I don't take these language differences and other cultures. No, they are superficial. Dr. Sheikh Anta Diop pointed that out. Dr. Diop pointed that out. All other Africans who began to rise and understand, they pointed it out. Patrice Lumumba, all those who were killed, they understood it and they pointed it out. If you want to join this conversation, dial 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We have a few people in the queue. If you hit star twice, you can join the conversation. Hit star twice. I know these people just probably want to listen, and that's cool. We encourage that. Whatever how you want to deal with it. But those Africans understood. Our great African scholars. I'm talking about ours. I ain't talking about Negroes. I ain't talking about them. I'm talking about our great African scholars understood that. I'm talking about from many years ago to the ones even present, and many of them are ancestors. They understood that. And so, for reparations, and the word reparations, of course, is repair, and we need to be repaired. The repair that we must engage in, educational, physical, from a health standpoint, a mental health standpoint. Everything first begins with the mind. That's why the educational part is so vital, because it would instill in our minds of who we are historically, who we are culturally, and we begin to change how we see ourselves and each other. No longer will the materialism of this country and Europeans be so captivating to us. We don't give a damn about the materialism. We don't give a damn about cars, clothes, jewelry. We could care less about sports. You know, I love sports. In fact, yesterday's games, this weekend's games, were some of the best football games I must admit, because I watched. I mean, I played, I coached, I did all those things. But let me just say this to you. I would give up all of that. I'm an avid Los Angeles Laker fan. Been that since I was a kid, when Elgin Baylor. In fact, one of the programs last year when he passed, I dedicated to Elgin Baylor. I talked about Elgin Baylor, his upbringing in D.C., his playing ball for the University of Seattle and so forth, his many years with the Lakers and saved the Laker organization. So I love sports, but I give it up in a heartbeat for the liberation of African people. The game last night, since Buffalo and Kansas City, I would say was the best game in the playoffs that I've seen. Was the best game in the history of the National Football League. If you have an opportunity to see it again, check it out. 646-646, good afternoon.
Hey, Odios, what's happening,
man? AJ, AJ.
As an ex-football coach and all of that, how the hell you allow somebody to score in 13 seconds?
Yeah.
13 seconds.
13 seconds, man. But they had timeouts. They had timeouts. So
right.
You know,
but
that's how it happened. They had timeouts. They had three timeouts, which was they saved them all, and which was very smart. But yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, but the whole thing is, I was reading something earlier, and they don't want to give Brother Eric Bieniemy his credit. They're trying to say that it wasn't him who made that call, that it was Reed, regardless. Well, he's supposed to get the credit for that, because that right there, to me, was unbelievable.
It was.
And the funny thing is, I was telling a friend of mine it's gonna happen. He said, "You want to bet somebody?" I said, "Yeah, how much?" He said, "I ain't gonna bet you nobody, because I know I'm probably gonna lose."
Smart guy.
The thing was, the passes that they threw and the routes that they run,
perfect
for what they did, was perfect.
Perfect.
Because you know, everybody's looking. We're looking for them to go to the sideline.
Mm-hmm.
They went right towards
the middle. Because they had timeouts.
Gained that extra log and called the timeout. Yeah.
They had no
and
timeouts.
I mean, I was like, unbelievable. And then when I saw that they got the ball, I said, oh, they're
going to score. I'm here. They're going to score.
Score a touchdown. Yep. You know what I mean? Because that's just what Kansas City do. Now, I mean, the Brady loss, you know, everybody's always happy with Brady.
I know. Ain't we always happy? Cause I know I am.
You know, and the only thing that makes you more happy is when the Cowboys lose.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
Jay, you are so correct, man.
man, I love when Brady and the Cowboys lose, that makes it do what it do.
Yes, sir.
But you know something, man? I can't even tell you, in all honesty, who's playing who, other than the fact that I think it's the L.A. Rams, the 49ers.
Yep. Kansas City and Cincinnati.
Yeah. Now, out of those four teams, the highest rating team is Kansas City.
Exactly, because they've been into the last two Super Bowls. Yes.
I don't know. I would like to see Kansas City against the Rams, because I know that's going to be offensive explosion if the weather is nice.
Yeah,
because they're both coaches take chances. Because remember, I think it was L.A. that was able to do what they did by completing three or four fourth downs. I think was that them?
No. No.
I know one of the teams completed three or four fourth downs that they were facing to win it. I think that was Cincinnati.
Yeah, it was Cincinnati.
Yeah. I mean, look, all I can say is I'm not as big a football fan as I am a basketball fan. But those games were definitely enjoyable.
You know what I mean? They were all suspenseful.
They were enjoyable. I hope Kansas City wins it all, man. I really do.
I wouldn't be mad. I
really care less, but I'm saying if I had to pick a team, I would definitely like to pick Kansas City.
Right.
And then, man, it's always beautiful, like I said, that the Cowboys have no, you know what I mean? They have no
chance
in hell.
That's right. The Cowboys are out. And Tom Brady's out. That's all I care about.
I had a friend of mine on Facebook. Oh man, he was talking that Real Major trash the week before the season ended. And I told him, you know, your Cowboys gonna break your heart, man. They ain't no real winners. And sure enough,
the
Cowboys lost. I rang his ass.
Yeah.
He couldn't even say nothing. I told you, they losers.
Well, I tell you. Go ahead.
Reparations. I'm like this. I always felt like Krautheimer said, give them their money, man.
Yeah.
Because all they going to do is just give it right back to them.
Yeah.
Now, if we were really, really creative, we were looking to doing some other things in regards to reparations, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Taxes, education, things of that nature. Then when you start talking like that, then I think people could take you a little more serious, and it could definitely benefit you more. But the naysayers, those of us who don't really know anything of reparation, they always peck up when you talk to them about it in regards to you making some money. But if you start talking about anything other than giving them some money, for some reason they lose total interest.
Well, Jay, so, let me take this other call, okay?
All right.
All right. Thanks a lot, Jay. All right, brother.
All right.
Talk to you Wednesday. Peace. 404, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, my sister. How you doing?
Oh, I'm blessed.
Good.
Enjoying your show as usual, your program. And I just say reparations now and Pan-Africanism will perish.
That's right.
And
that's
I
right. I agree. Go ahead.
Did I overhear you say something about Ayanna Cortez, the congresswoman?
Right.
I guess
right.
You know. Now, did you say she was perpetrating that African people, that we shouldn't get our reparations?
No. What the article said, what the guy who wrote the article said, that she's trying to lump other groups, particularly Latino groups, into the reparations movement, into the reparations discussion. That's what she's saying. That's what he's saying. And that some of those people would probably come here illegally, you know. More than likely, some may have. Doesn't concern me. But and she also he also says that she says that some Latino groups are African, which is correct. Some are, and some identify with being African. You know, because one thing, the way they appear is undeniable. You know, it's just like, you know, I had a discussion with a Puerto Rican sister. You know, and I could see some hurt in her because she would look more African, you know, than she did Puerto Rican. And that in my discussion with her, that some of her family kind of dissed her, you know, because she didn't look more Spanish, more European. See?
Oh, okay. I recall hearing that Cortez person saying some adversarial things about African people before that she was more concerned about, you know, the Latino thing and just some divisive things that I recall from her. And
okay.
Just my impression that she, you know, didn't think that reparations for African people was just so important as what she wanted to do with the immigrants. And, you know, this thing we have now, I'm noticing that there's this movement to kind of dilute our movement, our African movement, and bring other people in it, you know, because they got this thing about black and brown people, how black and brown people are in the scene, how we have to have rights for black and brown. And who is the brown people? Who are they? I mean, the Latin people ain't trying to say they brown, are they? they're not calling themselves that. Where does this term come from?
You know what? I don't know. And honestly, I... but yeah. Because, I mean, But let's be real, Sister Hamija. A lot of us don't want to even identify with being African. We don't want to identify, you know. And because some of us, you know, we want to be American. We too sing America. And some of us don't even want to fight for reparations. There's some of us that, you know, who don't believe that we should get reparations. Or, you know, they've been so Caucasianized, so whitewashed, you know, that they, you know, we should just be happy that we're here, that they brought us here, and now that we're free from physical bondage, but yet we can participate in this great country of ours. You know,
right.
That should
be
good enough.
Right, everybody else is struggling to be our struggle.
Yeah.
Bring the Chinese and all the Latin thing and all that, you know. But I said we got to do for ourselves first.
Yeah.
That term, I've just been hearing it, and it just cringes. I'm just saying, it's like we can't just stand up. This is what African people need. This is black people. We got to bring to legitimize our needs. We have to add these other people that we call that. Somebody that's being called brown.
Yeah, well, you know. Well, that's.
I know they reject that. Have you heard them saying that we brown people? Have you heard them saying calling themselves that?
Well,
I'm hearing them say Latino
Whatever. You know, sometimes they do, but you know, it's not.
You've heard them say the brown people,
the black and brown people, or people of color. Yeah,
I've heard that people of color, but
right.
Brown people. You heard Latin people saying we're brown people.
Yeah, because some of them are, and I think that was the distinction, you know.
Well, what is brown people? What is that?
Ain't nothing. You know, all these color distinctions, like yellow. Are Asian people really yellow? You know, are indigenous people really red? You know.
That's a new one. I heard them identify themselves differently, but all right. Well, I said,
well, you know, just like Dr. Clark said, anytime you talk about a people, you must talk about who they are, and you must conjure up land, history, and culture. You know, red, brown, yellow, black, white. You know, these are colors. These are adjectives. But anyway. Right. My time is up, my sister.
Well, enjoy your program.
Oh, enjoy you listening. Thank you so much, my sister. Appreciate it. Yeah.
Pan-Africanism of Paris.
That's right. Unify or die, please. I'm constantly promoting that. That's right. All right, my sister. You have a blessed and wonderful day. Talk with you soon.
Day.
All right,
appreciate
dear.
You.
Peace.
Bye-bye.
Brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko, the most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in the hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shemhotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Abibi Fahodie. Bivihode means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. You have a great day. Hope to see you back here on Wednesday. Stay safe, family. Peace.